today is going to be an awesome day. I look forward to it. God always has things planned, and we're always in his plan, but we don't always understand his plan. Amen? But we don't always have to. If we always had to, we wouldn't have faith. We would just have sight. Amen? That's right. Come on now, Max. Give me some, dude. Amen. The whole month of January, right? Welcome to the last day of January, by the way. Can you believe it? 2021, the first month, is almost over. It seems like it went quick, and it seems like it took forever. I don't know how to explain that, but y'all know what I'm saying. Amen? It's been a hot mess in a lot of ways, right? Just because 2020 is over don't mean that everything else is over. God will say when it's over. So the whole month of January, we've been studying the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. We're studying the seven churches found in Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3. We've done six of the seven churches so far. Have you been blessed by it? Amen? Amen. If you're at home, you can say amen too. That's good. It just means, what does amen mean? It means I agree. Or that resonates with my spirit. Or yes. Yes. Or so be it. Amen. Amen. Six of the seven churches we've done so far this morning, we're going to cover the last one, and we're going to cover an additional church, First Open Bible of Cedar Rapids in 2021. Definition of the word revelation is this: the making known of something that was previously secret or unknown. The seven churches Jesus is talking to in the book of Revelation are these seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos or Pergamum, depending what version of the Bible you're reading, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These were literal churches, and they existed in Asia Minor, modern Turkey. These churches also represent the types of churches throughout church history. Scholars believe as well that these seven letters to the seven churches will show us a progression of the way that churches will go in the end times. If that is true, have you been reading the word, and where do you think we are right now? I could tell you where we're at in America, but you need to ask what the Spirit is saying. Remember the ends of all those letters? What? Listen, hear, and obey. What is the Spirit saying? See, sadly, not much physically of these churches still remain. But spiritually, so much of these churches still remain today. Okay, let's dig into the last church we haven't covered yet in Revelation chapter 3. You ready? If you have your word with you, open your word up to Revelation chapter 3. If you didn't bring your word in here, we got one right in front of you. Go ahead and grab one. Revelation chapter 3, last book of the Bible. Open up to the last. You're going to probably have a bunch of references before that, but this is the last book of the Bible, so you'll go there in chapter 3. Let me give you a quick bio while you're doing that. So the city of Philadelphia was known as the gateway to the east. This city was founded by the citizens of Pergamum. This city was the gateway to Central Asia Minor. Philadelphia's residents kept barbarians out of the region, and the city brought in Greek culture and Greek language. It was renowned for its grapes, textiles, and leather goods, but also subject to frequent earthquakes. Anybody ever been in an earthquake? Now, I was born and raised on the West Coast. I've been in an earthquake. I was actually in a pretty big one time, and there is nothing you can do. It's quite scary, to be honest. Now, here in the Midwest, when you're at school, you have what kind of drills when you're a kid? Tornado drills. I'm like, what is a tornado drill? We had earthquake drills. That's what we had on the West Coast. See, this city had frequent earthquakes, and the Christian Church of Philadelphia was a faithful church in a small town. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get into the letter of the Church of Philadelphia. We're going to read Revelation chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to end in 13. I'm going to go ahead and read that right now. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Hallelujah. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but they are not, to come and bow at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. Verse 11, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Verse 12, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Verse 13, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Hallelujah. Here's a little bit more background for this situation that was happening right here. In 17 AD, the city of Philadelphia had suffered a massive earthquake that ruined the city almost completely. Right? Kind of like what happens in some places in California and what we've seen in history. The church was devastated from the aftershocks as well. So the people had to make new homes outside the ruined city. Now verse 12 says this, all who are victorious will be pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And they will also write on them my new name. Isn't that incredible? God spoke directly and personally to those people who face such a horrible event. See, their earthly city pillars were not standing anymore where they once lived. Shook. I mean, they were shook to their very own foundation. Rubble. So Jesus talks directly to them, and this is what he says. They will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. Isn't that awesome? You might wonder, is God personal? Yes, he is. He's very, very personal. In those ancient days, a city would often honor a notable citizen by putting up a pillar in the temple. And then they would put their name on the temple, kind of like we have now with statues that have plaques on them. They did the same thing back then, 2,000 years ago. In those ancient days, that's what the city would do. See, what Jesus is saying here is he will honor his faithful followers permanently by making them, or the word says, they will become pillars. And on those pillars, Jesus will write the name of his God, our God, on us. And give us spiritual citizenship in his kingdom. Amen? No earthquake, no aftershock, nothing will crumble those eternal pillars with God's name on them. Hallelujah. Amen? Nothing. Nothing can shake those. Now, Christ commended the faithful church in Philadelphia for four things, as we read in this letter. Number one is this. They had an open door. They had an open door. Number two, they had very little strength. Number three, they kept the word of God. And number four, they did not deny him. Those four things. If we could be like the Church of Philadelphia, we would go through open doors of ministry. We would depend on his strength and we'd be true to God and we'd be true to his word. You know what's kind of sad though, what we see right now? Many churches believe there are few too many people. There's too little of money, and there are just a few gifts. And there are only a few opportunities to do something incredible for the kingdom of God. just don't have enough. But what we've learned in this letter to the church of Philadelphia is that Christ, when he is present, when he is with us, when the Holy Spirit is moving, the church is committed to him. So we're committed to what Jesus is saying, and we're obeying what he's saying, and God is with us. There is going to be many, many open doors for opportunities to do ministry, not in our strength, but in his strength. What should we pray for? We should pray for those doors to be recognized, opened, and walked through. There is still massive potential for the local church today. Amen? Come on, local church. Come on, people at home. Amen? Come on now. There is still massive potential for the local church. If there wasn't, we'd be raptured right now. Verse 8 says this, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. Say no one. No one can close. You have little strength. Yet you've obeyed my word and did not deny me. Christ summarizes three principles that apply to every church. Three. Number one, God has opened doors for ministry. God has opened doors for evangelism. God has opened doors to preach the good news of Jesus. Number one. Number two, we are to depend on God's strength. If you're not depending on God's strength, you're not depending on God. That seems so simple, but yet not practiced. Number three, we are to keep and obey the word of God. Those three principles. Number one, God has opened the door for ministry. He's opened the door for evangelism. Number two, every church, we are to depend on God's strength. And number three, we are to keep and obey his word. So if we are faithful to God's word, that will lead us to open doors of ministry, and it will also make us rely and depend on the strength of God to walk through those doors. See, the Church of Philadelphia had a true relationship with God. True relationship with God. And they had a driven faith. All right, verse 10. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere. God commanded them to push through. God commanded them that if everything's around them and it's really hard, they're still going to be able to go through it. God commanded them to keep going. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. There's two major scholars came together. There's two major things that they decided about this verse. Is number one, many believe that this is a reference of the great time of tribulation from when faithful believers like the ones in Philadelphia will be spared from them. Or possibly even that's talking about the rapture. Okay, here's another possibility of what they thought that can interpret is this. Others interpret this to mean the church will go through great times of tribulation. They'll have great trials. Okay, the New Living says a great time of testing, but God is going to keep them strong through it all. So no matter what the exact meaning is, we need to know, church, that if we patiently obey Christ no matter what, if we persevere, if we push through, and whatever we face, God is going to be with us and he will see us through. Amen? He will. All right, lastly, I want to go back to verse 12 real quick. I want to highlight something that was really, really cool that I noticed when I was studying and reading this letter to the church of Philadelphia. In verse 12, it says this, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God. And they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God. And they will be citizens in the city of my God. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Did you notice four times in one verse it says my God. We should be proud and we should be honored to be Christians. We should be humbled, but we should be proud and honored and thankful to be a Christian. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to hide our light under a bushel. Oh no, I'm gonna let it shine. We need to understand that my God can do all things. My God will open doors to minister to people. My God will be my strength when I am weak. My God will help me understand his word, and I will not deny my God. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. You ready to get into another church? The Church of First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids? The snowy church of Cedar Rapids, Iowa? All right. Now, if you've been here more than a year, you're going to remember that God gave me a vision in September of 2019. 2019, God gave me a vision for the year of 2020. And I cast that vision last January of 2020. And now I'm going to quote myself a good portion here, and I'll tell you the beginning to the end, and I want you to listen to the words that I said that God gave me. That's how you know it ain't me. That's how you know it wasn't me, because you just gotta listen to this real quick. So here's the quote that happened 1 year ago from a vision in September of 2019 for the year of 2020. Quote this. As I read in Acts chapter 2, as the first church was established, people are willing to give anything short of sinning, even their own life, to tell others about Jesus, the Messiah. They were all in, they were excited, they were productive, and they were radical. They were also filled with the Holy Spirit and had a great relationship with God and had a great relationship with each other. Church, when I think about our church, First Open Bible, and the structure that we have, I think, Lord, what are we missing? What is off? In America, do we do church wrong? Is there anything, God, that you would like for us to change? And God has said to me, refocus. God's vision is perfect vision, 2020 vision. So we need to get God's vision and we need to refocus. In Acts chapter 2, there were four major pillars to the first century church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Four pillars. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those who were in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meal with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, I'm still quoting myself from 2020. If we're expecting God to move, and to be powerful, and to save this perverse and crooked generation, then we must get back to what the Lord established as the pillars of the church. Church, we need to look at our roots if we want different fruits. Now, not our interpretation of God's word, or our man-built ideas, or our man doctrines, or our man ideals. 2020 is going to be an amazing year. A year God strips the fruitless parts of us, a year he rebuilds some of those faith foundation, end quote. Wow. Who would have imagined all the ways God in this world would have stripped us down to our foundation on so many things? Only God would have known. Only God would have known. Now, as we look back, do you see, church, can you see what God has lined up for us in 2021? Do you see now how God has stripped us to our foundation? Our physical pillars have been knocked down. But this year of 2021, God is rebuilding those eternal pillars in us, church, just like he did with the faithful church of Philadelphia. 2020 is going to be an amazing year. A year God strips the fruitless parts of us. A year he rebuilds some of our faith foundation. Hallelujah. In 2020, we had COVID-19, racial divide, confusion, political chaos, great division. Yeah, here local, we had that derecho, inland hurricane in Iowa. See, in many ways, it knocked our earthly pillars down. But no hatred or confusion or racism or division or pestilence is going to crumble our eternal pillars with God's name on them. I want to ask you three questions. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Do not give me a church answer. Think in your hearts right now. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Now, what does it mean to follow Jesus? For the record, those unfortunately are two different things. You can believe in him and not follow him. Last question. What does it mean to be his church? When I think about our church, First Open Bible in 2021, and the structure that we have, I think, Lord, what are we missing? What is off? In America, do we do church wrong? We believe in you, Jesus, but are we following you? What is the plan you have for your church right now? Now, I believe God has spoken to me. But just like God does, because he probably knows the capacity of what I can handle, he definitely knows, he only gives me one step at a time. The New Testament avoids laying out a model for precisely how church ought to be structured. The biblical authors that we read from, they leave us with a lot of room for freedom. I want to say this, structures matter. And we should be intentional about the way we structure our churches because structures dictate the direction a church will go. I also want to say this. I believe this. I went and got my master's for it. Theology matters. But theology that matters the most is not the one that we profess. It's the theology we practice. See, every church has the same Bible, but not every church lives it. Now, if you know my wife, Sarah, she's at home watching, you know she doesn't like clutter, right? Anybody know that in here? She loves to clear shelves, go through closets, drawers, and even rooms, and purge the unnecessary things that we have laying around. Now, I have to admit, even though I have many emotional and sentimental attachments to some of these things that we get rid of, it does feel like we can breathe better once the clutter is removed. In 2021, God is removing the clutter of our church. See, this clutter, when it's removed, will make more space for God to breathe and for God to move on us. Now, what does that exactly look like? I don't fully know yet, but let me tell you, my spirit is super excited. It is sensitive to what God wants to do at First Open Bible in 2021. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. Imagine with me for just a moment. Try to clear your mind real quick and just imagine with me. If a church was able to purge everything that is not of God. Now, it's really hard for us to imagine that because we're so used to what we've always done because we've always done it, especially for people who've grown up in the church. Let's imagine for a moment a church purges everything that is not of God until we get down to just a group of believers, a Bible, a cup, and some bread, ready to read and then go out and do what the Bible actually says to do. Crazy, huh? Well, that's only crazy to think about in America. But that's literally what churches all over the world only do. Those churches, they also see something that we don't see. Daily miracles, signs, wonders, and they walk in faith every single day. Even with great persecution surrounding them, they are faithful churches. All right, let's strip it down for just a moment. Come with me again real quick. Let's just strip it down to the basics. Imagine you're living in some remote place. Let's say it's in the Amazon or somewhere that people have never been or not a lot of people have been to before. And these people, including yourself, you're there right now and you've never heard of a church before. You pick up a Bible and you start reading the New Testament. How would you imagine a group of believers, a church, should function? What does their faith look like? What does following Jesus look like for them? Does it resemble anything that we experience today? Are you okay with that reality? See, too many Christians are packing into churches every week who seem to have no interest in actually doing what the Bible says to do. Week after week, people hear from the Bible things like James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. How about 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 19? And that. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and see a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Now we read things like this in church and we know things like this, but believers never seem to do anything. See, I'm not perfect and I'm not expecting you to be perfect. This vision is also for me. But shouldn't we be a family of believers pushing one another toward faithful action? What's the point of teaching scripture without expecting change? The Bible tells us every member of the body, every single one, has a gift necessary to the functioning of the church. But what we experience, though, is people come an hour and a half or 2 hours in a sanctuary or online, and they just go home. Church is done. Check. See, this concept is so foreign to the church of the New Testament. This is foreign to God. This is not the church we read about in the Bible, and this is not the one that God admires. Excuse me. First Open Bible. If we would be a closer family of believers who do things together and sharpen each other, and don't expect the ministers to do it all. It's not even in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. If it is, show me. So what I read is we equip the saints to do the works of the ministry, the fivefold. Everyone is a minister of the gospel of reconciliation. Everybody's an ambassador for Christ. Everyone, in a sense, is a minister. Not everybody's a shepherd. That's different. If we were a closer family of believers who do things together and sharpen each other, we would find ourselves more dependent on God and more fixated on eternal matters. Now, I'm not trying to get on anybody, but the sound was really, really bad, and we tried everything we could. But people got so mad that they could not deal with the sound. But is that really the point of it all? Is that really the point of it all, that, man, Brent sounded like he was in a tin can and things were a little sound? I mean, we have gotten so far off the meaning of what church is that we've been so consumer-minded that we don't even know why we are meeting together. And God is breaking me. He's absolutely breaking me of this. Like the Church of Philadelphia, are we going to be faithful in the shaking when the pillars all fall over? Are we going to be able to go and say, my God is going to put an eternal pillar here with my name on it because I am persevering, I am pushing through? Or are we just going to go to church and go home and check the box? Let me look at me real quick. Everybody online and look at me real quick. I want to speak some excitement to you. It is possible. It's not only possible, it's probable. It's not only probable, it's doable, and we can do it together to live with bold faith in America. Just like the church in Philadelphia, when everything around us shook to its core, fallen over and destroyed, we will be about eternal things that will never be shook and never destroyed. In this house, First Open Bible, this will not be a cruise ship. This will be a battleship. The Bible teaches when you choose to follow Jesus, not just believe in him, when you choose to follow him, see, I think too many people are going to hell because all we did and all we did was say a prayer and believe in Jesus and you're going to be fine. That's sending people to hell because Jesus, when he meets you and you truly believe in him, he changes you. And if you haven't been changed by the power of Christ, you haven't been changed by Christ. It's one thing to believe in something, it's another thing to follow. The Bible teaches when you choose to follow Jesus, he doesn't lead you into a vacation spot. He leads you into battle. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate it day and night, so you'll be careful to do everything written in it. then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Praise God. See, this should be an everyday mindset for a battleship church like us. God designed the church to be much more than what a majority of us experience in America. Here it is. We need a rebuilding. We need a heart change. We need to be stripped completely to prepare the way for the Lord. 2021 is the year we don't go to church. The year we will be the church. The first century church in the book of Acts were willing to give anything short of sinning. They were even willing to give their life to tell others about Jesus, the Messiah. They were all in. They were excited. They were productive and they were generous. They were radical and they were full of faith. They were also filled with the Holy Spirit and they had a great relationship with God. And here's the key. They also had a great relationship with each other. A great relationship. They didn't attend church. They were church. First open Bible. Our focus immediately, check this out, is shifting from attendance to participation. Just because you attend a game does not make you an athlete. Get in the game. No more spectating. It's time to participate. This is exactly what Christ commissioned us to do. Do you remember the Great Commission, Matthew 28? It doesn't say attend. It says go. Believers, you're a part of something much bigger than yourself. Something that's actually sacred. Through Jesus' sacrifice, you have been joined to his church. It's not what we did, what he did. Because of this, you are part of God's heavenly community, and I invite you to be a part of this heavenly community called First Open Bible. Next month is the month of February, and we're going to be doing a series called Matters of the Heart. This next month will be a month of unveiling. Unveiling what God wants to do with his local church family and how he will change the world again through it. There is still massive potential for the local church. 2021 is the year we don't go to church. It's the year we will be the church. Will you stand, please? Father, we just come to you collectively right now as people following Jesus. Father, just like all things that we want to change, it must start with forgiveness and it must start with repentance and it must start stripping our pride. Lord, I pray for humility upon our hearts right now. I ask for forgiveness right now because a lot of us, including myself at many times, have not been afraid of what you've asked us to do. I have not been nervous or stepping out of the boat, been comfortable. Even in the midst of 2020 with pillars falling all over us, there's been a lot of times that what we wanted to do is just to protect us. That's not what you've called us to do. Lord, we read words in your in your word. We read scripture, we read mentalities, we read ways to do life, the way to think, Lord, the way to feel, the way to do. We just push on past it. Because we're used to what we're used to and we do what we do. We haven't been walking in faith like you've called us to. I'm also reminded in your word that you're the God of second chances. You're the God of 3, 4, 5, 170, 3,412 chances. Lord, I pray for First Open Bible, will you give us another chance to do things the way you want them to be done? Not the way that we've always done it. Father, I don't know exactly what that is, but I know that you're doing something and you are changing things inside of us. You're mobilizing your troops, but right now, we need a heart change. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying, because if we don't hear, we won't know what to do and we won't know where to go. But we're listening. Change us from within. I pray for generosity to explode at First Open Bible. Generosity like we've never seen before. I pray for humility to explode at First Open Bible like we've never felt before. I pray that pride will be broken down in the mindsets of this world, or even our own man-made doctrines that we've made out of something that we know through tradition of church, not tradition of your word. Break it. Break it now. God, I pray for Holy Spirit boldness for each and every one of us. We don't have to be here together collectively to do what you've called us to do. Each and every one of us is the church. We are the church. The believers are the church. It's not a building. It's not a congregation that comes together. We are the church. We're the church of every single believer that is here on planet Earth right now. May you speak to your church to do the things that you've called us to do and to go where you've called us to go. I pray for Holy Spirit boldness to come and rise up in us where we think in our minds, I can't go there, I can't say that, I can't do that. And something inside of us said, I told you, I'll enable you, I'll strengthen you, now go. Lord, I'm reminded in your word as well, as says, the way that we love one another is the way the world is going to know that we're your disciples. Now, I don't know what it looks like during a pandemic with 6 feet apart and masks, and I know there's a lot of opinions of that and thoughts and things like this, but God, we're following after what you say. We want to do it safely, but we want to do it with faith. And if faith requires us to do something that is maybe not as safe, then so be it. But Lord, we will be aware of what is taking place. We'll take all precautions that we need, but if there's a time, especially during this time of COVID that still is here in 2021, I'm not okay that the left side doesn't even know the right side in the church. How on earth will the world ever know that we don't even know people who've been attending our own congregation for 2, 3, 4 years, or maybe even 20 years? What is that about? Father, I don't understand the things that have taken place, but what I know is you are changing us from within. Father, we must love each other. We must know each other. There should be prayer groups upon prayer groups upon prayer groups coming and praying and coming together and praying for one another, and not in their own cliques, but getting out into the people and saying, I don't know that person, but I'm going to go find out because the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart, and I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to pray for them. And then I'm going to follow up and get their number. I'm going to send them something. If God gives me some sort of bonus or something in my way that's gone my way and I know there's needs, I'm not going to hoard it. I'm not going to hoard it, but I'm going to give it, God. I'm going to spread it out. I'm going to invest it into eternal things to see it grow like I can't even imagine. I'm not going to bury it in the ground. I'm going to invest it into the kingdom. Monetary value, time, prayers, goods and services, love, support, whatever we must do to come together as a body of believers And I'm also reminded in your word that we read about those four pillars of those things that they did. Signs, wonders, and miracles happened, and people daily were added to them who were getting saved. Daily. Saved. Through following and loving each other and following your word. May that be First Open Bible. When we come together, I pray that it just be in a massive, just a love of God and love of people. Holy Spirit, move like you can only move. I pray for signs, wonders, and miracles to take place in this place, but only if we're able to handle it. We're not going to chase after a fire if we're not even something that is able to be burned. Prepare us for the sacrifice. Prepare us for the anointing. Prepare our hearts. Prepare the foundation so we can build it up your way, God. Please keep revealing what you want to do. 2021 at First Open Bible. Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. And we also trust you. In Jesus' mighty name. God's children said, amen. We love you. Let's worship together before we go. And I just want to encourage you with this new vision. Remember, it's not about just showing up. It's about participating. So I want to encourage you this week. Reach out to somebody you may know, you may not know, and just say, hey, can I pray for you? What is it that you need? And if you have something that they need, and a lot of people are real shy, oh, no, I don't need anything, but you know that they need something, just do it. Generosity should flow out of God's people all the time. It should just be a flow. We are blessed to be a blessing. Anything that takes place that God wants us to do, it should come from our heart and just right out of our hands. Trust me, you can give it all away, and God will give you tenfold. He'll just keep giving it to you, giving it to you, giving it to you. It's just a matter of what you want to do. Share the gospel everywhere that you go. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of what's going to happen to you in this world, and stand up for Jesus. If you stand in the gap for Jesus and you stand up and you tell others about Jesus, he says he will not be ashamed of you in front of the Father when you get on the other side of this life. Amen? Go change the world, because the world changer lives in you. Hallelujah. Thank you.